This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Insurance companies get a new obstacle to covering sicker Americans. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. President Trump gets to Brussels on Wednesday for the NATO summit, the first stop on his European tour that will also include a meeting with Russian President Putin in Finland. This presidential travel is relevant to market participants. As we start the week on Wall Street, let's check in with Julia Coronado at Macro Policy Perspectives in New York. Good morning.
Good morning.
So the president's on the road. He's in Europe. How does that play out in terms of market psychology, do you think?
Well, we're sort of in this holding pattern, looking for how these trade conflicts are going to play out and how they're going to impact businesses. So really, when the Q2 earnings season gets started, will be our first taste of how companies are actually seeing this on the ground and how they plan on managing that. So for now, we're kind of in a okay mood in the markets, but we don't have a lot of concrete information to go on, and we'll be looking for companies to provide that for us in the weeks ahead.
All right. As you look out on the week ahead in terms of economic data, what is the one data point you're looking the most at?
The big one this week will be the consumer price index for June. We've seen inflation tick up, both headline inflation because gas prices are rising, but also core inflation is finally meeting the Fed's goals. So we're going to be looking at that and parsing that for the details and the trends.
1 hour before the market opens on Thursday, the Consumer Price Index. Julia Coronado, Macro Policy Perspectives. Thank you.
My pleasure.
U.S. insurance companies have just learned the federal government will not be sending to them about $10 billion. That announcement from the Trump administration came this weekend. This further rattles Obamacare. Marketplace's Dan Gorenstein from our health desk at WHYY in Philadelphia is following this. Dan, what is holding up the $10 billion?
So the Trump administration says the problem stems from a U.S. district court ruling that determined the formula was used to transfer money from insurers with healthier populations to those with sicker ones, and that was problematic. In a statement, federal officials say they're asking the court to reconsider its decision, but the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services says it can't move that money, David, until this gets straightened out.
All right. So what are some possible consequences?
Well, it's going to depend on timing. The $10 billion isn't actually due until the fall, and the court said it's going to respond by late summer. So there's still time to iron this out. But if it doesn't get worked out, then as insurers said over the weekend, premiums will likely rise. That's going to hit consumers who don't get insurance through work, and the government's going to pay more to subsidize more people in Obamacare. The thing is, there's an easy fix here. A healthcare attorney told me this morning the Trump administration could simply issue a new regulation justifying the funding formula, and that would be that. Instead, we have a whole bunch of anxious consumers and insurers and more healthcare politics.
Marketplace's Dan Gorenstein at our health desk.
Hi, I'm Zach, and I listen to Marketplace in Arlington, Virginia. I think what I appreciate the most about Marketplace is their ability to take the economic news of the day, issues such as tariffs, rate hikes, and tax reform, cut through the political noise, and clearly and concisely explain not only how these issues affect our country and the rest of the world, but how they impact people like me. I hope you'll consider joining me as a Marketplace investor and donate today at marketplace.org to help make their work possible.
The midterm elections move from the primary stage now to the generals. Among the big stories, all the women running. Also, hundreds of the candidates in races, large and small, are scientists who fear current political winds are against science. This wave of new recruits has the benefit of advisors doing their best to shape scientists with electoral ambitions into politicians. Marketplace's Jed Kim reports.
In 2014, Shaughnessy Naughton was a chemist who was ready to transmute herself into something new, a politician. She was going for a Pennsylvania congressional seat because,
I was really frustrated with the anti-science rhetoric I was hearing out of so many politicians.
She did not win that race, nor another try in 2016, but she learned a lot about campaigning, and she realized she could accomplish more for science by helping others like her run. She founded 314 Action, a political action committee aimed at getting more scientists into office, which is not standard protocol.
Traditionally, the thought has been among many in the scientific community that science is above politics and therefore scientists shouldn't be involved in politics. And, you know, my response to that is, how's that working for you?
Federal funding for science has been waning for years, but the election of Donald Trump prompted a major backlash because of fears he'd downplay scientific conclusions in his policies. And his picks to lead EPA and the Department of the Interior have been especially troubling to scientists. Last year, 314 Action's membership increased by an order of magnitude. That's times 10 for you non-sciencey folks. 7,000 people with STEM backgrounds have reached out saying they're interested in running for everything from school board to Congress.
So how many volunteers will you need? You'll talk to 864 voters divided by 6 voters an hour, which is a constant that I referenced on the earlier page.
Facts and formulas, easy for scientists to digest, but that can be its own problem.
They want to go into the minutiae, into the detail of research.
Chris Yonke is a public speaking coach who's led some of the training sessions. She says scientists have to get past some of their quantitative inclinations in order to connect with voters.
Their first impulse is not to tell a story. They would rather start with the stat. So what we worked on in the training is how to do both, because of course you need balance.
If they do manage to make that turn, they'll have a lot going for them. Erica Check Hayden directs the Science Communications Program at UC Santa Cruz.
If you're a scientist and you're coming from outside the political mainstream, that might actually give you a leg up. Way more Americans trust medical scientists or scientists broadly than trust elected officials.
Basically, if you're really keen on draining swamps, you might pick someone who can calculate the logistics. I'm Jed Kim for Marketplace.
And what's the right word here? Lackluster or maybe miserable? On this first day of trading for stock in the Chinese electronics company Xiaomi, things were not great. First, the stock started trading below what investors had paid for the stock up front. At one point, the stock was down 6%, but it ended the day little changed on the start. Xiaomi makes relatively cheap mobile phones and other consumer electronics. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.